Let's turn to the passage of scripture this morning to James chapter 5. I think you just bring your attention to the bulletin. I think all of you get the bulletin every Sunday and also over the sent to you over the BKC website. This all written by our Pastor Elder Cheong, and I think you should bring attention to it because it gives us always the background of actual background of the passage, because we don't actually know which direction each speaker will take on the passages that are given. So it's always good to also read at the same time the passages which are given to us in the written for us in explanation, in detail, in the bulletin. Now, James chapter 5, we are coming to the end of the book of James, and this is the end part which I have the privilege of speaking on. Now, you know, we have a good visitation program in our church. You know, the ladies have been visiting for decades, all those who need to be visited. Even now, you have Joanne Lee in charge of the visitation among the ladies. And not only they don't only just visit the ladies, they visit other church members also who are sick. Over the years, of course, over the decades, for about 30 years, my wife at that time was also in charge of it. And so she was leading the ladies group to visit. At that time, they used to visit about once a week, wherever they heard was sick or whatever. Among the senior citizens too, you have Mr. Kwek Jing Jong and of course Leong Kok Wing leading the visit to the senior citizens in hospitals and so on, even now. Now, on one of the visits which the ladies group made, somebody who was very, very sick, was in fact dying of cancer, and very, very, you know, we knew she was about to go. She knew she was. She felt the doctors were telling her that she was not having very much time. So they visited her, and as they were talking to her, the phone call came through. And, you know, she picked up the phone, and there was a conversation down there. And she was saying, you know, I got visitors here, and, you know, from our church, and I can't talk very much to you. And then they heard, to their shock, that she said this. She said, "Don't pray for me until I know which God you're worshiping and you're praying to." And then, of course, she ended the conversation there. And they, in their shock, they asked her, "Who's that you're talking to? Don't pray for me. Here we are coming to pray for you." And the other side, he said, "Don't pray." And she said, "No, that's my son-in-law. And I'm not sure yet whether he's a believer. And he just said he was going to pray for me." You know, we're all very polite. We say, "I pray for you. I pray for you." Huh? And he said, "Hold on." Now, in her extreme sickness, she was still very caring for a son-in-law, and his faith that he would end up in the same place, she would end up in heaven with the Lord she believed in, God. But until she knew and she was sure who God, which God they were praying for, he said, "Hold on, you must know the same God I know." Nowadays, we have some problems with our young and so on as they move all over the place. So right at the beginning, even as we look at this passage and we have looked at James, James is a very practical book. What must be established without any doubt is the God you and I worship. This is the Heavenly Father we have, who cares so much for us and loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, so that we accept him and believe on him, we will be saved. Now that is the God we have. The God who was prepared to sacrifice his only begotten Son. Now, if you are very clear, you and I are very clear, and we start off well, all right, and always remember who the God we worship, he will actually govern how we behave, our reaction, everything. And the book of James is a good reminder of a person who believes in the Lord, believe very absolutely, no questions asked about the God he believes in. He has no more questions. So it's very important to establish this, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of our children, our grandchildren, and our relatives, and so on, or those who, our loved ones especially. Because otherwise, it gets all very wishy-washy. You know, over the years, we've had various people coming to us and saying, you know, this church program is better, that church program, when they move, especially among the young. Or people coming to church and saying, you know, I don't come to church because, you know, there's nothing for me, or whatever. But the question you ask yourself is, why are you coming to church? You ask the young people the same question. You come to church to worship God. If you know very clearly the God you worship, and you come with the attitude that this is the God who told you, let's come together. Don't forget to assemble together to worship Him. Then your whole attitude, your whole focus is different when you come every Sunday. And you know, we are supposed to, James reminds us to honor God in all that we do. You know, whatever it is, we're not in control. But what is in control is that we want to honor God in all that we do, even as we worship Him. You know, I want to take us back to last Sunday's passage. All right, let's turn to last Sunday's passage from verse 7 of James chapter 5. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. You know, last Sunday, if you remember correctly, the speaker was telling you how we must look forward with hope to the coming. And that's what also helps to gear, all right, and to firm our faith in God. As we look forward and we live a life for God, we look forward to His coming again. Now, this must be well and clearly established in your faith and my faith. And that is the reason why the devil will always keep on attacking and shaking our faith in the second coming of Jesus Christ. I think some of you know, if you're on the internet, you know that the internet has been rife over the last few weeks with September 23rd. You know, there is always this question about, the Bible is very clear, and we don't have a problem here in our, thank God, in our congregation, because I think over the years, we all know very well that the Lord will come suddenly. Yeah? There's nobody knows the exact time and place. Huh? But false prophets keep on coming up all the time, and more now. And that's the reason, is because we want to, the devil wants to shake that hope we have of His coming as we look forward. Last week, we were told that is one of the main focuses of a Christian. Even as the farmer waits, he has a hope of that rain coming. All right? And so you find that, you know, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand in verse 8. So to establish and to expect the Lord's coming. So September the 23rd, as you know, came and went. And we didn't have a problem here in church. Nobody kept on asking, hey, September 23rd, what happened? Huh? But on the internet, if you look through, some people sold their land, some people sold their houses. A taxi driver in the US was saying that, somebody came out of the church and gave him $2,000 US. And he said, why? He said, the Lord is coming, 23rd September. But you see, it brings to ridicule the second coming. But the second coming is there. The Bible tells us the Lord is coming. And so even as we prepare ourselves to look forward to, our attitude changes again in terms of what's happening. Of course, the other thing that happened recently was the martyrdom of, we call him martyrdom, yeah, because he was very clear in his faith, was of Charlie Kirk. In fact, before Charlie Kirk was assassinated and killed, I didn't know very much about Charlie Kirk. I think all of us in Singapore, in the US, he was, you see, he had this, he was used by the Lord in small groups. He just didn't have this huge, massive Billy Graham type rallies, but he was in small groups. And he had these small groups, and the only problem with this is that over time he had a tremendous, the Lord used him as a tremendous effect on the young people. So because of that, you find the politicians started to try and use him. And this is inevitable. The world sees and uses Christians. Here is where we got to be careful too. All right? But there's one thing about, and I would encourage all our young to look up the videos which of Charlie Kirk's dialogues with the various youth. It's quite important that you look at it because he was very direct. One particular verse which our speaker last Sunday didn't cover very much in detail is verse 12. Let's look at James chapter 5, verse 12, if the AV people. But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment. You know, this just tells you and establishes what is found in James all the time. Remember what we're saying about God. First, you establish your faith in God. All right? Now, if you establish your faith in God and you are going to live your life, you and I live our lives according to God's laws, then actually, we don't have to ask God and say, hey, when I'm saying I swear by God. And what he means down here is you don't need God down there to, you know, everybody will know that you are always clear in your mind that God is present in your life and God hears everything you say. So you don't need to have these special swearings, whatever it is, by God's name. But that is because in all that you and I do and how we behave, I will let our yes be yes and our no be no, lest you fall into judgment. Which means that you and I are always careful about what we say as what? As to the Lord. Because whatever we say, because God, we are conscious of God's presence in our lives, we are conscious of that. Now, many of us say, hey, that's no problem. But think about it. Huh? Let's just say our chairman of our church council comes to you after this and you say, will you consider being a church deacon? Will you consider being a church elder? Now, almost quite certain, a lot of people's reaction will be, let me pray about it. Correct? Let me pray about it. Real or bluff? Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, that is to put off the chairman. You know, he's asking this question, I'm busy now, lah. So what's the thing which can pray for time? I say, let me pray about it. Now, if you really believe and you really are going to pray about it, good. That's what it is here in James chapter 12. He says, when you say, I will pray about it, it means I will really pray about it. All right? Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Same thing. When somebody says, hey, can you come and help on this day? You say, I will try. Now, make sure that you really try. All right? And that's what it means here. Let your yes be yes, your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. So we live our lives, you and I, each day now, clear before the Lord, all right, that what we say and what we do, God hears, and we do it unto the Lord. Now, when you have all these things clear in our minds, then we move to our passage for this morning. Because the passage for this morning actually is not just concentrating on that word down there, which that part down there which is prayer of faith. Actually, it is the whole thing is on prayer. It's consistent prayer. And if you look at verse 13, we start with verse 13, all right? Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Two extremes. What is this? This is consistent prayer. This is something you and I must always be in a position of consistent prayer because we know God, our God, our Heavenly Father is looking after us. We know we have this communication. Prayer is communication between you and God. So if you have this constant communication, it does not necessarily mean we say, let us pray, then you pray. You are all the time praying with God. Automatic. Huh? you and your family members, when you say, come, 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 let us talk. How many times do we go to, of course, there are certain occasions, yes, special occasions, where you tell one of your family members, well, let us talk. But usually, you just talk, right? And that's the same thing with your Heavenly Father. You talk to your Heavenly Father all the time. It is consistent prayer in sorrow, suffering, cheerful, sing psalms, because you are in that constant communication with God. And that's the reason why I actually am one of those who are very open. I don't, you know, last time some people used to make fun of those who were praying, say, let's pray, you know. And they say, you pray, even car park also, you look for car park. When you're looking for car park, you pray for God to open. And then some of them sneer at it. I don't. Because actually, that's part of your life, your walk with the Lord. There's nothing absolutely wrong if, you know, you just, because of the usual communication, say, I hope I get a car park, I pray there's a car park. It's actually your communication with the Lord. Everything that happens in your life and my life is part of the walking, the consistent part with the Lord. So there's nothing absolutely wrong as you talk with the Lord. All this kind of conversation comes up. Nothing to laugh about, because it occurs. It helps. And the Lord knows. And because the Lord knows, there are times where really when you're in your desperate situation or whatever, in your mind sometimes you say, Lord, I wish there was a very convenient parking lot in front of here, an emergency or whatever, you're going to the hospital, or even sometimes emergency, you're going to the toilet even. The Heavenly Father cares. And you find it, it's there. And then but don't go around sharing about it, because quite often people will laugh at you. But the fact is, in life as a Christian, consistent prayer is what it is here. Verse 14, is there among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, this is the passage which is simple, and yet over the years, it keeps on coming up over and over again. Because every time there is a revival somewhere or another, a charismatic revival or whatever it is, you find somehow or another here and there, people keep on targeting, I guess, this verse, using all these verses on Bethesda Katong. Because, you know, nowadays, in a lot of the churches, they call themselves, the leaders are called pastors, senior pastors, and whatever. But they see down here the word elders. And it goes into their mind straight away. Well, one of the churches that always has elders is the Brethren churches, and especially, of course, Bethesda Katong Church. So this keeps on cropping up in terms of prayer. And so we have people coming up and saying, now, elders are asked to pray. What happens? And some will say, you know, some of these elders, I don't think I want them to pray for me. And some says, I want certain elders to pray for me, not others. And this keeps on going out, because it's not actually clear when we say down here, when the Bible tells us you ask the elders to pray, this is elders representing the Lord God as under shepherds. So when you come to an elder for prayer, we have started to have, make it easier for everybody. At least two elders every Sunday here after service for you to come forward to. If you have any prayer, for them to pray, and special prayer at other times. Now remember, these elders are not elders as the individuals. You don't go and analyze the individual's lives or whatever. The Lord knows. But these elders represent as under shepherds the Lord God. Remember, we started off by saying, know whom the Lord, whom is the God you worship. If the God you worship is all-powerful and all-encompassing, even it doesn't matter who the elders are. If they represent God and you come to them as representatives of God to pray for you, the power of the Lord God and the presence of the Lord God is there, definitely there. You know, we are told to, last week we were told to live like Job, among other things, all right? And you read the book of Job, you know, it's tough to go through that kind of suffering. I mean, you're talking about suffering and things like that. Nobody can go through that kind of suffering like Job. But what kept him through was he could, in that sense, somehow or another, by the grace of God, see the end. He could see the hope and look forward to that hope. And because he has that hope in the end, you find he always realized that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. And because the Lord is very compassionate and merciful, he could trust this God, whom he believed in, to take him through. So if you and I are going through various kinds of suffering, you need to have that ability to remember, all right, and ask the Lord to remind you, the Holy Spirit in you to remind you all the time that the Lord is compassionate and merciful, and in that compassion and merciful, you ask him to take you through what you're going through. Because, as you remember, I've mentioned before, in Job, the book of Job, right? Job verse 30, chapter 38, verse 4, when God confronted Job, or Job asked what? Ask God, why through all this? God says, listen, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? We always forget God is God and we are what we are. Where were you when you laid the when I laid the foundation of the earth? God is saying, listen, I know everything. I know everything about the earth. I know everything about you and I. So there is a great importance to have the absolute trust. And we need to teach our next generation, ourselves too, to have this simple, absolute trust in God and God's plan for us. And you know, we need to, even as we look at this, always remember, sometimes when we pray for people who are sick, somehow or another, all of us forget that in Hebrews 9:27, we are told, that is appointed unto men once to die, and after that, the judgment. You know, we all need to die. You know, I have, sometimes I meet with doctors who are actually absolutely frank. And sometimes I just wonder, maybe it's good that they are frank. I remember years ago when I went to do my cataract operation, and I was hesitant at the age of, at that time I was, about 9 years ago, my myopia was 1,500 or whatever it is, you know, and I had cataract, and I was hesitant, and I had one of these most brutal eye doctors ever. He looked at me and he says, "Why are you hesitant for? Huh? You are as blind as a bat, and you're 70." How long more you think you're going to live? Oh, this kind of bedside manners, I think will not get very far. But he had a good effect. Actually, I believe I needed it at that time. Just point blank. Now, the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. It's very clear. All right? Because of sin, and nobody else has ever come up with any other reason for you. You die. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so you see, this reality is there all the time. And so as we come and pray, the prayer of faith, so you call the elders. All right? And this tells us that, listen, yes, if you are suffering, you are sick, come to the elders. All right, you pray yourself, but as part of this congregation, and ask for the elders to pray for you, right? Not in the sense that they are powerful in their own super right, but because they represent the Lord God, and you submit to the Lord God's authority Bible tells us. And so you come and pray over and they will pray over you, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now this is something which, of course, in the past was practiced, because this, of course, reflected, you know, sometimes it was in the past, it was used also for medicinal purposes, you know, some medicinal effect of the oil, but it was more a symbolic to show that the Holy Spirit is there and it's the Lord God that we hear and the elders appointed. Now, in Katong, we had this period of time where, because we had so much people asking us and thought that this was so, remember the healing comes from the Lord. The Lord is the great healer. It's not the oil, not anything else. So one of our elders, just to make a point very clear, he used to carry a small bottle of Chinese medicated oil, Hong Yu. Of course, others were very more particular. They say, hey, this is, you know, we know that in those times they didn't have medicated oil, it was olive oil. So they carried olive oil to pray. But it was a symbolism of prayer. All right? To show people that, listen, we are serious about praying before the Lord. All right? Serious about praying and asking for the Lord's healing hand to be upon you. Now, at times when we go and pray, that is from the part of us that we accept the elders' authority. Elders need to have that confidence when they go and pray, that they are representing the Lord God. And the Lord, the Bible tells us, you must ask in his name and according to his will. Now, there have been many times where as elders you're asked to go and pray for somebody, and that person is so looking so terrible, she's sick. It's almost as if should I want, you know, kind of a thing. And you say, listen, if I pray after that, I'm going to get blamed. Sometimes elders are human beings. Huh? All right, always remember to pray for your own elders, your own leaders. As we go, when we went for prayer, sometimes it was so bad. But in obedience to the Lord God, all right, we prayed. And we say, God, you ask us all this to come before you and ask. And we ask that in your grace and your mercy, if it is your will, heal this brother or this sister. And boy, have we sometimes got so amazed. Right? If the Lord God, and there's some of you down here who we prayed for. You know, the Lord God, in his grace and his mercy, knows that he's got plans still for you. There's still work to be done. And in spite of everything, hey, we see them walking around, very strong after some time. Still strong. I won't mention names. Still serving the Lord. All right? And you say, praise the Lord. The Lord, the healer, has healed. In spite of sometimes our doubts. All right? Now, we need to go into this question of the prayer of faith. Why sometimes when we pray, people get disturbed? Pray, not heal, nobody heals. All right? And sometimes we think that by praying louder is good, so people pray louder. Huh? Sometimes we pray continued prayer and consistent prayer. Yes, consistent prayer is there. But quite often the prayer fails. Why? Don't get into any position where you accuse anybody that say, hey, you know you're not healed because you've got little faith, you've got no faith. Why? Because the Bible tells us that every believer has faith. And how much faith do you require? The Bible says, hey, hold on. Everybody has faith, and it's not the amount of faith you're talking about. It's, the Bible tells us, even a little faith, like a mustard seed, is enough. All right? Small faith. All right, you turn to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, for instance. Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Matthew 17, 20, yes. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. So it is not a case of faith. never a case of fail. All right? Because as a believer, and you're praying for believers, every believer has faith. Amount of faith, it does not come here, because the Bible tells us even is a little amount of faith is sufficient to move even a mountain. So we go to the next step. What other things do we need to be careful about? Iniquity in my heart. All right, Psalm 66:18. Iniquity in my heart, we need to prepare whoever we're visiting ourselves to. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Iniquity in my heart is not just any ordinary sin. It is deliberate kind of a thing, right? It's conscious, rebellious refusal of God's law and character. Your hardened heart, unrepentant heart. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. So we got to teach people, be careful. This is not just any kind of sin. It is where you harden yourselves and you refuse and you say, I refuse. Iniquity in my heart. Because in the very first place you say, and the Lord says, I will not hear because I know. So you have little faith? Yes, it's okay. I'm the Heavenly Father. I see your little faith. But if you deliberately go against me, iniquity, I will not hear you. All right? Wrong motive, James chapter 4, verse 3. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. You ask. You're all supposed to ask, but you do not receive. And sometimes this does not apply just when sickness or healing or whatever. It's ask all kinds of things. You ask, because the Lord God, remember, sees everything and knows everything. Because you ask amiss, because God can see your heart. And sometimes we know, when people are sick or whatever it is, all right? You pray and it's actually on their mind, thousands. I remember talking to an old man at 90. Nowadays, old, we got to be careful what age. I mean, it's what? 90 years old. And he was sick, and we were trying to talk to him about, you know, God and coming back to the Lord. Actually, his only interest at that time was to get better in order to expand his financial empire. A very powerful man. I mentioned his name, you would know. And his only interest, even at that time, when he was obviously very weak and sick, was how the stock market. And here you're talking to him about life and death, and here he's worried about the next movement of the stock market and the financial thing, and how he would spend it, I guess. So when you ask, what's your purpose? You ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures, not on wanting to serve the Lord God, not for the extra strength, but to spend it the time on yourself. All right? And then the next one in Luke 18:7. You know, sometimes God has not moved yet, though he hears, he bears long with us. God's will and timing. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? You see, this is talking about the unjust judge. God saying the unjust judge listens. You know, people say, unjust judge listen. Even the judge listens to me. How come God never listens? The Bible says, and God shall not avenge his own. Don't worry. You don't worry. You cry day and night out to me, I hear. But at the same time, it's according to my timing and my will, because I know what is happening. And you remember the Lord God, Jesus himself, when he was going to the cross, he said, God, please, if it is your will, take this heavier burden away. But yet, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, he was not going to, he liked this thing about but the suffering, he knew what the suffering he was going to go through. But at the same time, he subjected and said, yes, God, I surrender. So our attitude again, to teach is to surrender first to the Lord God, his will. And then we move on and we say, listen, God, I do not know the timing and I do not know what is best. But I come before you to answer. And of course, the last one is not God's timing to answer according to your request, but God has heard us. All right? God has heard us. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 to 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Assurance that God hears us in accordance to his will. You must know his will for his purpose. Prayer of faith is there, but it's not dependent more on your faith, but on God. Don't forget God, the healer all the time. All right? And of course, we know about Elijah, an example given about Elijah. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess, verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that if it would not rain, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The prayer of the righteous. Remember, we are not righteous ourselves. 2 Corinthians 5, turn to 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 20 to 21. The righteous man. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Right? 20:21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. You see, the righteousness for all of us now, besides just the elders and the deacons or whatever it is, who we look to you, say they're supposed to be more righteous than us. Now he comes down here and says, listen, you and I, righteous because of what God has done in our lives. You know, sometimes you can get shocked. The ladies group, again, went to visit decades ago, an old couple who had come to know the Lord because the TCCO, I think, had led them to the Lord. Huh? And one day they visited her, and this couple, and then the wife came out, whole stack of amulets, good luck charms, and small idols, and say, I don't want this anymore. Can you discard it, take care of it? Now, at that point of time, like it or not, they were looking around for any elders around. No elders, except this group of our ladies. All right? But then the Bible reminds us, we are all righteous in God's eyes. Here was somebody who had accepted the Lord in simple faith, bringing all these idols and amulets and saying, please, discard it. So the ladies said, listen, we just got to go by faith. We'll pray. We commit everything to the Lord. We ask for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who cleanses us of all sins, who covered us from any kind of forces of evil that might disturb us. And of course, they took whatever was given to them. They felt that they couldn't go on distributing the amulet to other people. I don't stand and say, whoever else wants, I can take this one, they don't want. No. They folded it up, a nice newspaper. Of course, these people had been worshippers before. They always have all these tins for burning. So they just put it inside there and they got rid of it. Now you and I might sometimes be confronted in such situations too. Somebody comes to you and say, pray for me. Right? What do? You pray for them. Not because you don't say, no, I'm just an ordinary Christian. What is an ordinary Christian? An ordinary Christian should be a Christian who loves the Lord God and who is always ready to give an account of himself. Right? Of the Lord's word. So you are righteous in the eyes of the Lord God because of what he did, not because of who you are now, but because of what Christ has done on the cross for you. And because of that, you, on that spot, will be that righteous man and pray. Alright? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Verse 19 of chapter 5. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now this verse, of course, I've always read it, and most commentaries will just tell you, you know, you pray and make sure you pray for somebody to come back to the Lord and go out loud. It's to encourage you, you and I, to go out and bring back the others. But the part of this verse that always puzzles me a little bit, and save a soul and cover a multitude of sins. Whose sins? And I suddenly realized that, hey, hold on, it could be me. Why? It could be you. Because as we go out and try and reach out to those who have wandered away, very often, you know, in our minds we say, ayah, why bother? He wants to go his own way. Let him go his own way. And you think about the examples in the Bible about this. And sometimes we get even angry. Remember Jonah? You remember Jonah? The Lord used him mightily to bring back Nineveh. The people of Nineveh. Go back to him. What was his reaction after that? His reaction after that was he got very angry. He said, these people, how can? You were going to destroy, God was going to destroy them, and then suddenly, God sent me. They accepted the Lord. And then, now okay. He got angry. And sometimes, when we reach out to somebody who's the terrible sin, and they come and they actually repent. Sometimes inside our mind, say, oh, all these years I've been such a good fella. This guy's so terrible. Now he comes back, what? God accept him? The Bible says, yes. God accepts him. So remember, God will see into your own hearts too as you reach out. Other cases. What about the prodigal son? You know this case, prodigal son. Same. The prodigal son had gone away. The prodigal son came back. All right, what was the reaction of the other brother? He also, he got jealous. He said, this guy, how can? I'm here looking after the father and all that, everything. And he comes back. So you're jealous. And then you think about the Apostle Paul, Saul. He was Saul. He became Paul. The Lord did a marvelous work in his life. And yet, people said, hey, hold on. Who is he to come back just like that, to accept? So sometimes, as we reach out, I think we should cover ourselves also for the Lord and say, God, please take care of my own feelings as I reach out. May I not feel a sense of pride as to how this person can just come in now and that, or jealousy, that just like the prodigal son, or maybe, all right, anger, and say, how can God, you're merciful to them also. You're merciful to me enough, you're merciful to them. All right? But remember, the Lord God died for all, the whole world. And even as you read this particular passage here, I don't think I found it in any other commentary, but to me, at this time, it's a reminder of myself. how I need to always come before the Lord God in thankfulness of heart. Remember how we started here? If anyone among you suffering, let him pray. If anyone be cheerful, let him sing a psalm. Don't only just come to the Lord when you are suffering only. You come to the Lord also in cheerfulness, times of cheerfulness, in times when you sing psalms. Okay, now in closing, I want you just to look at Isaiah chapter 40, one verse only, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. You know, sometimes the most difficult thing is those who wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord means you surrender to the Lord, God, His will. You surrender to Him. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. Now you say this as you get older like me, when I'm 79 now, you know, sometimes in the morning, hey, my wife reminds me, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles. Yeah, I say, yeah, but I'm having difficulty not getting up. All right? But it is in your own life, your own spirit. Shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the promise of the Lord as you serve Him. Every day of your life, my life, your life, right? Don't be frightened. Don't just talk about this. It's prayer, consistent prayer, not just the prayer when we say have faith or not. Just a little bit of faith is enough. Because it's the Lord God that heals, it's the Lord God that you depend upon. It's the Lord God's strength that you depend upon in you, not your own strength. Let's close with prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you and give thanks that in all things you have given us your strength. The strength of the Holy Spirit in us, not of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And we claim, dear Lord, this in our lives, in the lives of our children, our grandchildren, and all of those who we come into contact with, Lord, that they will know this same power that we have, that you have given us in you. And even as we go out and pray, and even whatever sickness we encounter, or whatever suffering we encounter, may we always come before you, surrendering to your will, knowing that you know best. And to know that, dear Lord, that you reminded us again that this life on earth is just temporary. And that, Lord, what is important is eternal life. And may we, like the prophets of old, and even like the farmer, always look forward to the hope we have in Jesus Christ, in your second coming. So as we go back, Lord, help us to rejoice that in spite of everything, you are in absolute control, and we give thanks always for having you as our Heavenly Father, and we give thanks always for your grace and your mercy in our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.